We'll go ahead and get started. Welcome everyone to the 2026 Yukon River in-season salmon management teleconference season. We greatly appreciate you taking the time to join us as we begin another important season of discussions surrounding the management and future of Yukon River salmon. My name is Serena Alstrom, Executive Director of the Yukon River Drainage Fisheries Association. It's my pleasure to serve you as your host throughout the teleconference season. These calls will be held every Tuesday from June through the end of August. Throughout the season, we'll provide updates on the Yukon River salmon run assessments, environmental conditions, research and monitoring efforts, and ongoing management activities. I'd like to extend a warm welcome to all new participants joining us today. We also encourage young fishers to participate in these calls to learn, engage, and become involved in Yukon River fishery issues and management. These teleconferences provide an important opportunity for people from across the Yukon River to share observations, concerns, and local conditions. We encourage fishermen, tribal representatives, researchers, managers, and community members to actively participate. Your knowledge and experience help build a broader understanding of the challenges facing our salmon and river communities. We would also like to thank our funding partners, the Yukon River Intertribal Fish Commission and the Tanit Chiefs Conference, for their continued support in making these calls possible. For many years, these teleconferences have served as a communication bridge between local users and fishery managers across the 2,200 miles of the Yukon River. As salmon declines and changing river conditions continue to affect our communities, the need for open communication remains critical. However, the challenges we face today require more information sharing alone. They require collaboration, problem solving, and action. Our goal is to ensure these calls remain a platform for meaningful discussion, actionable feedback, and collaborative solutions that can be shared with management agencies, organizations, and decision makers. By working together, we can identify practical opportunities to improve fishery management and support the long-term health of Yukon River salmon. As we move forward through the 2026 season, I ask that all participants be respectful of one another. This is a space for constructive dialogue and shared learning. By listening to and supporting one another, we can foster productive conversations that benefit our fisheries and communities. Gleana, for your time, participation, and commitment to the Yukon River. The year to end season subsistence salmon survey is currently getting started. We thank the National Park Service and NOAA for funding the program this year. This year, the surveyors are will be utilizing a digital app version of the program, and once we work out all the kinks and everything, we'll make it available for the public soon. We'll be updating everyone when it is ready to download from the App Store. We want to encourage fishers in the in-season survey communities to reach out to their local surveyor and share what they are seeing on the river. This program is a way for fishers to anonymously share their observations as well as their concerns or challenges with the managers and the rest of the river. The survey communities include Lahanuk Mountain Village, Marshall, Russian Mission, Anvik, Huslia, Ruby, Kanina, Fort Yukon, and Eagle. Before we get started, I'd like to do some housekeeping. As always, press star 6 to mute and unmute your line. If you are using the mute feature on your mobile device, you will still need to press star 6 to mute and unmute. Background noise and conversations are disruptive to callers who are sharing important information. Do we have any media on the line? Can you please tell us your name and who are you with? Do we have any of our government representatives or staff members on the call today?
Can we ever follow?
Okay, Hearing none, we'll go ahead and get started with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, Yukon Area Manager, Dina Jalin.
Yeah, hi, Serena. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Dina Jalin with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Let's give a brief update. And if Fred West or T. Karen is on, they can also, or Holly can add more when I'm done. Down here in Amonok, the Lower Yukon Test Fishery has been operating for a few days, and they've just been getting kind of one or two summer chum salmon and at each site or each day. So we haven't got a lot of catches here, summer chum salmon. Those fish are being sampled by YDFDA this year for age, sex, and length, and then being distributed to local communities. The pilot station sonar has also started their operations, and they've gotten a few kings and a few summer chum in their test fisheries. Their numbers in this early part of the season will change as they pool and combine their estimates over the course of a few days. And so counts might kind of go up and down and fluctuate as they do those estimates for these early days with low passage and low catches in their test fishery. For management actions, we've been putting out announcements of closures and restrictions based on normal run timing. And so those closures started on June 1st in the Coastal District and in June 1. We've announced closures up through 4BC and the Koyukuk River, and so folks should have seen those advisory announcements come out. They've also been relayed on Facebook and put on the phone recordings and sent out to the publisher. Fishing for salmon is closed up through District 3. That closed on June 7th. During these closures, folks can still use 4-inch or smaller mesh gill nets, 60 feet or less in length, operate as a set net, to continue to catch non-salmon, so sheafish and whitefish and pike and burbot. They can also use hook and line and dip nets and beach seines, but all Chinook and summer chum salmon must be released alive because we're forecasting very low runs of those species this year. Folks should stand by. For a little bit later on in the season, we'll also be closing the 4-inch nets for 2.5 weeks during the bulk of the king salmon run to help get all those kings upriver to where they need to go spawn and reduce any incidental harvest of king salmon and 4-inch gill nets. With that, that's about all I got for an update on the management side from the state. I don't know, Fred, if you're on to add any assessment numbers, it'd be helpful.
Yeah,
this is Fred West. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Fred, but before we get started, just a reminder to press *6 to mute and unmute your line. If you are using the mute feature on your mobile device, you will still need to press *6 to mute and unmute. Thank you, and take it away, Fred.
All right, yeah, as Dina mentioned, I'm Fred West, the summer season research biologist, and yeah, she gave a pretty good update of what's going on. We're just getting started with assessment at LYTF and pilot station. And if you want the specific numbers right now for pilot, we're like at 2,172 for Chinook salmon, and that's plus or minus 1,500. And then we have a 590 summer chum and plus or minus about 250. Early days and a little bit below average, but it's still early. I just wanted to mention we are starting the radio telemetry project, which will be tagging will be based out of Rampart, and that we hope to start tagging mid-June. But within the update that will come out, there'll be a number to call if you do encounter a tagged fish. But I can give that number out now. It's 1-877-467-2104. On that, you can let us know if you encounter a tagged fish. There'll be a spaghetti tag on the back, and then there'll be a radio tag with a wire hanging out of its mouth. So if you encounter one, let us know. I guess that's all I've got for now. Thanks.
Great. Thank you, Fred. We will turn it over to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service Do we have Holly, Carol, or Keith Perrin on the line?
Hi, Serena. This is Keith. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Hi, everyone. This is Keith Perrin with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. I am the Federal Assistant Salmon Manager, and in federal waters, we've been issuing closures to protect the expected low Chinook and summer chum salmon runs based on run timing, very similar to the state. And upcoming, please expect all gillnet closures, and those will be announced soon to protect the bulk of the Chinook salmon run, and that those are to reduce the incidental harvest of salmon. And if you have any questions, we always love to talk to you, so please reach out to us at any time. Holly, do you have anything to add?
No, thanks. This is Holly Carroll with Fish and Wildlife Service, Federal In-Season Manager, and I'm working with Keith to manage the river. He's taken the lead on a lot of this stuff, but I'm also always available for questions. And you can call or email us. I'm going to go ahead and give my cell phone number out, although it is on all of our announcements. My number is 907-351-3029. That's 907-351-3029. Thanks a lot, and I'll just stand by if any questions come up. Thanks.
Thank you, Keith and Holly. We'll now turn it over to the Department of Fisheries and Oceans Canada. Do I have Jacqueline or Adam on the line?
Yeah. Hey, it's Adam Odell here, Senior Fisheries Biologist with Fisheries and Oceans Canada and Whitehorse. I'll touch quickly here, not much of an update quite yet, but I'll touch quickly here on a stock assessment and environmental update, and then I'll let Jacqueline continue with an update on the management approach for the season. So our stock assessment teams were preparing for this coming field season still, where we're aiming to begin setup and mobilization of our assessment project on the Porcupine River starting on June 19th. With the goal of having that running by July 1st at the latest. Again, for reference, this Porcupine Sonar, it's located in the upper portion of the Yukon River watershed in Canada. It's about 2 kilometers downstream of the community of Old Crow. And it's a collaborative project that's delivered with Bantukwichin First Nation. And now, similarly, we have technicians who plan to meet Alaska Department of Fish and Game staff in Eagle, Alaska on June 26th, and this is going to begin that camp opening and mobilization of the sonar project for the Eagle Sonar Camp in this location, or this is located about 30 kilometers downstream of the Canada-U.S. border, so pretty critical location to monitor passage into Canada. Now, whether or not there's some folks online who could speak to these, I'll just quickly mention that Yukon First Nations, they run numerous assessment projects throughout the Yukon, and these will be coming online in the coming weeks, at least to start. Some of them are a little bit later in the season and coming online in August or even later. But the first one should be starting up in early July. Now, each of these will be estimating passage of Chinook salmon into major tributaries and into spawning habitat within Canada. And some of the projects this year are extending as well into the fall chum season to try to get some sort of estimation or approximation on fall chum salmon passage into some of these tributaries. Now, environmental conditions, just a quick blurb here. Snowpack in the mountains, it's likely higher than normal for this time of year. It was a fairly cool May, but then the past week or so, air temperatures across the Yukon have risen to close to near average levels, and this has increased snowmelt. So consequently, water levels, which had been quite low, some cases record low for their time, those water levels are increasing. However, many remain below average for this time of year. And with that, I will pass it off to Jacqueline and stay online here for any questions. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Adam. Good afternoon, everyone. Serena, am I coming through okay?
Yes, you are.
Okay, perfect. So my name is Jackson Kendall. I am currently the Acting Operations Manager with the Department of Fisheries and Oceans, and Adam has started us off with stock assessment and environmental update, and I'll follow with just a very brief management update. As noted, we're very early in the season for Canada, so we are still working to finalize some of our management strategy documents. So the 2026 Canadian Management Strategy, which we call the Integrated Fisheries Management Plan, is underway, and we hope to have that completed by the end of the month. In terms of specific management actions, with the very low Chinook forecast, Department of Fisheries and Oceans has posted fishery notices to close the recreational fishery. And as well, the commercial and domestic fishery, which is the non-Indigenous food fishery, those closures will remain in effect for 2026. And, over the next month or so, we will continue to work to set up some of our domestic obligations, intergovernmental in-season conference calls, as well as weekly updates. So we'll look to start those up by the end of the month and looking into the beginning of July. So that's just a brief update from myself, Serena. Thank you.
Thank you, Adam and Jacqueline, for your update. We'll now move into the organizational reports. Do we have anyone from the Yukon River Intertribal Fish Commission on the line? Just a reminder to press star 6 to mute and unmute, and if you are using the mute feature on your mobile device, you will still need to press star 6 to mute and unmute. Do we have anyone from the BBAYK group on the line? The Yukon River Intertribal Watershed Council. Do we have anyone from the Council of Yukon First Nations on the line? How about the Yukon Salmon Subcommittee? Just a reminder to press star 6 to mute and unmute. If you are using the mute feature on your mobile device, you also need to press star 6 to unmute and mute. Do we have Amanda Pope on the line with ISN?
Hi, Serena. This is Amanda Pope.
Hi, Amanda. Welcome. If you could please introduce yourself, you can go ahead and provide the information.
Okay, thank you. Hi, everyone. My name is Amanda Pope. I'm originally from the Yukon Flats region, and I was raised in the communities of Circle and Fort Yukon, where I learned traditional practices such as cutting fish and hunting moose and caribou alongside my grandparents, the late Allison Albert Carroll Sr. I currently serve as the regional coordinator for the Indigenous Sentinel Network, ISN, with the Aleut Community of St. Paul Tribal Government. In this role, I support efforts to bring resources, tools, and capacity-building opportunities to communities and organizations across the interior of Alaska and the Northwest Boreal region of Canada. I'm currently learning from the communities
I work with and truly value the opportunity to connect, listen, and collaborate. The Indigenous Sentinel Network was established in 1999 by the Aleut community of St. Paul Island to support communities in documenting and preserving their knowledge, observation, observing environmental changes, and stewarding their lands and waters. ISN emphasizes communities' ownership of data and supports co-management approaches with federal and state partners. We provide tools such as online databases, survey platforms, and mobile applications that function both online and offline. Our role is not to lead programs, but to equip communities with the tools and resources needed to define their own priorities, manage their own data, and lead their own efforts. We focus on supporting community-led monitoring, networking, collaboration, and outreach. Through my work with the Yukon River Drainage Fisheries Association, I have seen firsthand the importance of collaboration. Meaningful progress is rooted in strong partnerships with both communities and with agencies. The dedication and impact of the Yerfa team are truly inspiring and demonstrate what is possible when people come together and support the sustaining lifestyle of fish that we all depend on. I look forward to connecting with you all in the future, sharing more about ISN's tools and resources, and learning how I can support your work, whether that involves data sovereignty, project development, or strengthen community-led initiatives. If you have any questions, you're more than welcome to reach out. My email is apope@aleut.com. That's spelled apope@aleut.com. And if you want to learn more about ISN, the website is www.sentinelsnetwork.com. That is SENTINELSNETWORK.com. Thank you for the opportunity to share, and I'm here for any questions or any concerns that I may help with. Thank you, Serena.
Great. Thank you, Amanda, for joining our call today and explaining what you do. And Amanda and ISN are really great partners we've been working with on our data collection for the survey program, for the Clearinghouse project, and for the Watershed Ecosystem Action Plan that will be working on. A little update from Yerfa. I'm currently in Anchorage with my team. We're going to be heading out to St. Mary's tomorrow to kickstart our biotechnician training camp. And then we'll be heading down to Imanac to finish it off. A lot of great partners in for that training. So we'll be on the river in the communities. Please stop and ask questions, stop by and visit and see what we're doing. We'll be at the community halls, both in St. Mary's and Imanac. I'll be doing the teleconference next week out of Imanac City Hall. So, you know, if you want to see me live in action during the teleconference, please come and join us next week, Tuesday at 1 o'clock at Imanac City Hall. We're also gearing up for our educational exchange. We have 6 Canadians that will be traveling to Alaska, and we'll be meeting in Anchorage on the 23rd and heading out to Imanac and then up to St. Mary's and Pilot Station. And they'll be learning about the fisheries on the Yukon River and on the Alaska side. And we're excited to host them this year. A lot of great things that they'll be doing and learning about. We'll be having potlucks in Imanac and St. Mary's as well. Please stay tuned. Check our Facebook account regularly, because we'll be doing some Facebook Lives and letting you guys join us on the river that way. We'll move into our community reports. During these community reports, I'll be calling by district. Please ask any questions, provide any concerns, any environmental observations, questions to any of our organizations or management. We'll start off with the coastal communities of Geneva, Copper Bay, and Salmon Bay. Like always, press star 6 to mute and unmute your line. Again, calling on the coastal communities of Tivac, Cooper Bay, and Scan Bay. We'll move on to District Y1, Nunam, Alokanuk, Imanuk, or Kotlik.
Hi, Serena, this is Marvin.
Hi, Marvin. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. Not much to report here in Kotlik, but we did have some Yukon ice during breakup, like 12 hours worth, that brought in some driftwood from up. There's a bunch of guys, a bunch of families who went to go get some wood. I know the chief is caught up in Pacific. I haven't heard anybody that had net out before it closed over here. Some people went up north to go get herring eggs, but there's none, or very thin. And the herring too as well, as they were offshore, too much ice. This ice lingered over up Stewart Island and St. Michael up to Secretariat for a long time, so it was pretty thin this year, which was we had a 5.5-foot tide during breakup. Low levels of the community, but no damage done, anything. Now we're back to water gets pretty low, so about probably down to zero tide. Not quite fall season yet, where it's negative tide. That's it. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Marvin, for your report. We are in District Y1, Nunam, Alokanuk, Imanuk, or Kotlik. Anyone else from those communities would like to provide a report, just press star 6 to unmute. We'll move on to District Y2. Mountain Village, Pictus Point, St. Mary's, Pilot Station, or Marshall? Moving on to District Y3, Russian Mission, Holy Cross, or Shagok.
Hello?
Hi, Basil. Welcome.
Hey. Yeah, hey, guys. This is Basil here at Russian Mission. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
I'm finally able to call in. I'm started working with AVCP, but we're on a little break for now, so I'm able to call in. I haven't done any surveys, and people around here still feel like, you know, no fishing, no need for surveys. So if you guys do have a surveyor or someone calling in for Russian, then just that's probably going to be the war drum they're pounding this year. No fishing, no survey. But we did have a pretty bad flood this year. Lasted about a week. It wasn't as bad as the flood of 2023. Our runway did shut down, but did not go underwater. They shut it down when there was probably just a couple more inches to go for it to get under the whole thing underwater. But we our runway survived this year, and we got out of it. Everybody from downtown or lives downtown had to move out of their houses. It's probably 10, maybe 10 families moved out of their houses downtown for just until the flood passed. But still, you know, that's a taxing effort and taxing on your mind and, you know, just mentally and physically draining to deal with. Before the flood, when it was bird hunting season, you know, when we go out and hunt birds, we usually go around all the islands. And this year there was a lot more dead moose than years before, from all the snow that we had all year. And speaking about the snow, this winter in January, there was a 15-year-old boy that went missing here. And when he went missing, it was 40 below. The ground was rock solid. There was no way to leave tracks anywhere you walked. And then search efforts were to the max for probably 3 weeks. And then we got dumped on by 5 feet of snow. And then that suspended search and rescue efforts. They did bring out there was locals that started it, and guys from Kalskag, St. Mary's, Pilot, Kosciuszko, and Marshall came and assisted with the search, and there was also some search dogs or rescue dogs that were sent out here, and they had them search starting from halfway to Kalskag this way. And around town too. So then when the snow melted, we started up again. Then a lot of things started happening, and then the search efforts were called off. And then we had the flood. So you know, everybody moved out of their houses and is preoccupied right now. Everybody's settling back into their houses. And settling back into, you know, normal life. But due to the high waters, from the flood of 2023, everybody's first camp got destroyed, and just a few of us were able to rebuild and get our fish camps operational just for traditional values and, you know, teach the kids. And we've been keeping our fish camps open with the freshwater fish using a 4-inch net, and, you know, giving the kids all the kids summertime, they want some place to swim. And when you have a fish camp, the whole family, like say every household had a fish camp when I was young. Now one family in a family tree has an operating fish camp. So when that fish camp is in operation, all the kids come down from the whole family tree and they all swim. And so, you know, it's a lot safer like that. There's a lot more eyes watching and a lot more people helping. So, but that was going on up until the flood took all the camps. And then now the restrictions on 4-inch fishing gear, that really tripped everything up even harder, because that was the only thing keeping us going in the fish camps, and now it's hard to even do that. So, but other than that, there's no logs. All the logs are either up on the south bank in the land or floating down probably at the coastline by now. And there was a few bears that were seen around town close, but they got scared off. There's basically no fish camps are in operation. The ones that are in front of town, there's a lot of muck. The road to the camps, the water's still way up high. The roads to the camps are, if you got to go to one camp at the lower end toward the airport, you got to Honda through every single camp that's there, and then the camp owners are not liking that. So that's kind of happening right now, further affecting the, like I said, you know, people trying to get their camps in operation, that things like that are happening. There was some people that were able to go logging, but they had to work extra hard to get the logs. So, but the general feeling is, you know, with all these restrictions on salmon fishing, then restrictions should be relaxed a little more by the state to encourage families to harvest these freshwater fish and keep their traditional values like the fish camp and the whole family vibe going. So that's one thing we want to see. And that's one thing there's always been a trust issue between the subsistence users and the managers from along the Yukon River. And these rules and regulations on the freshwater fish are further hampering the mindset of the people out here. So much so that you know, I'm part of the locals here, and I've been doing the survey for a long time, so I got the feeling of what it was and what it is and how it's feeling, and it doesn't feel like it's a help you help me kind of situation. It's like, how could we, it almost feels like we're, anything I say will be used against us. So that's kind of where we're at right now. But just to give you guys an idea, or the manager's idea, we know you guys have a job. We kind of know what's going on. You know, there's Google. We search up all this kind of stuff that's going on that's happening to our fish, and everybody's kind of on the same page. But it seems like the state is still dragging the subsistence users are the problem. You know, war drum that's wearing pretty thin on us and getting a little worse. So much so it's just hard to explain. So, yeah, we know we're not the problem. We want to help you guys identify the problem, whether it be trawlers or global warming. And then we'd like to help you guys enforce the restrictions on the problem, or, you know, whatever it's calling the cause of the mortality, because it sure isn't us, and managing our lifestyle is not working. So we just want to help you guys help us without crossing the line. So, but yeah, that's it for me. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Basil, for your comments. We'll call on District 23. Do we have anyone else from Russian Mission, Holy Cross, or Shagluk on the line? Just a reminder to press star 6 to mute and unmute. If you are using the mute feature on your mobile device, you will still need to press star 6 to mute and unmute. We'll move into District Y4A. Do we have anyone from Anvik, Grayling, Kaltag, Nalato, or Kaipuk on the line? We'll move up the Kaikuk River. Do we have anyone from Huslia, Hughes, Alkakit, Alatna, or Bettles on the line? We'll move back to District 44. Do we have anyone from Galena or Ruby on the line? Move on to district Wi-Fi. Do we have anyone from Tanana, Rampart, Yukon River Bridge, Rapids, Stevens Village, Beaver, Birch Creek, Fort Yukon, Chilkeetsik, Vinitai, Arctic Village, Circle, or Eagle on the line?
Hi, Serena. It's Carlissa.
Oh, hi, Carlissa. Go ahead.
Hi, everyone. This is Carlissa Tremblay. I'm the Fort Yukon surveyor this year. And hello. just talked with few fishermen for that are fishing with net, and they've been catching whitefish, and they probably won't be fishing next week. The water's low. We've been having a chilly May and June, windy, rainy, but today is sunny. It's my first call in as the surveyor, and look forward to next week. Thank you.
Thank you for joining our call today. Again, we are calling on District Wi-Fi, Tanana, Rampart, Yukon River Bridge, Rapids, Stevens Village, Beaver, Birch Creek, Fort Yukon, Chilkeetsik, Vinitai, Arctic Village, Circle, or Eagle. I think I need to break those up. Do you have anyone online? Hi, Andy, go ahead.
Hi, yeah, thank you. That's a big district. just quick overview of breakup around here. It's a pretty dynamic breakup around here. One of the interesting things that I saw this year was that we had very high water that never dropped. Normally after breakup, 4 or 5 days after breakup, we have some of our lowest water conditions of the year. But this year, I guess Canadians are sending us a lot more water, and the water stayed extremely high, cutting into the cut banks pretty heavily in this region. Water levels started dropping a little bit last week, but they still seem to be higher than normal for this time of year. On the fishing front, I've been fishing ever since I could get a net in after breakup, and it's been completely dismal, using a 4-inch mesh gear, one 30-foot net, one 60-foot net, and since breakup 2.5-3 weeks ago, I've caught one pike 18 inches long, so very, very dismal around here trying to catch freshwater fish. Not sure what's going on, but anyway, it's significant trying to feed the dog teams. I think that's about it. Not a lot of debris coming down right now at all. Most of the debris got grounded as the water dropped after breakup. And we haven't seen water rising yet to float that off the banks. So no firewood for you folks downriver from up here for a little bit anyway. That's it. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Andy. Again, do we have anyone from District Wi-Fi on the line? Just a reminder to press *6 to mute and unmute. And if you are using the mute feature on your mobile device, you'll still need to press *6 to unmute. Okay, we'll move on to District Y6, Manly, Minto, Nanana, and Fairbanks.
Here in Fairbanks.
All right, Virgil, go ahead.
Oh, today. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I am. Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Okay. No, the water's not too bad here right now, I don't think. And they open up dip netting at Chitna tomorrow, so for personal use. But other than that, not much going on here except it rained all day yesterday. And we had a frost warning for last night, but I don't think it frosted out at my house. That's about all we've got from Fairbanks right now.
Great. Thank you, Virgil. Do we have anyone else from District Y6, Manly, Mentone, Nana, and Fairbanks?
Hi, Serena. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Jasmine Bent. I had went camping this past weekend here in Fairbanks. Rode it on the Tanana River, about 10 miles out of town. And we fished for a rod and reel both Saturday and Sunday, I'd say about 9 to 10 hours total, and we didn't catch one fish. So just wanted to share that. Thanks.
Great. Thank you, Jasmine. Okay, last call for District Y6, Manly, Mentone, Nana, and Furby. Okay, we'll move on to Canada. Do we have anyone from Old Crow, Dawson, Whitehorse, Mayo, Pelly, CarMax, or Keslin on the line?
Hi, Serena. How are you doing? Stanley Judy from Uptown Old Crow.
Hi, Stanley. Welcome.
Yeah, just back off the river. We were on the river for about 5 days, and up Crow River, and the water's dropping up there. And usually the water's pretty murky this time of year, a lot of silt, and the water's dropping about less than about 10 inches a day, dropping on Crow River, just on Crow River itself, that runs into Porcupine. So the spring runoff is the water's going down, and also on Porcupine, the water is generally stable, and this is about, 2.5 weeks now since the ice went out, so on Porcupine River, and that seems to be normal for this time of year. There's no much debris in the river. And temperature is about, I don't know, Celsius, about 3, minus 3 and 1. And 1, 2, 3 on a curve. Yeah, I'm doing some research project up there. But it looks a lot of erosion happening on the Porcupine River this time of year from the permafrost undercutting the banks that has sand. It's cutting through that sand on the that can't hold permafrost, and it's about 4 or 5 feet down from the topsoil. So the banks a lot of undercut in the river system, so that's the banks are falling in along the Porcupine River. Wherever there's, wherever the water's taking it out. So the water dropped now, so there's less of that happening. The breaking up of the banks. So and that's about it, I guess. But the water's dropping now. It's still pretty high, but dropping. And that's about it. So. And looking forward to see what the summer's going to bring. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Great. Thank you, Stanley. Do we have anyone else in Canada? Old Crow, Dawson, Whitehorse, Mayo, Pelly, CarMax, or Tesla on the line? Just a reminder to press *6 to mute and unmute. So we'll go ahead and open up the floor for any questions, comments, or observations if you were not able to join us when I called your district. I hear someone trying to mute and unmute.
Serena, Andy?
Yes, Andy, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I haven't seen the survey yet this year, but I was just thinking about what Basil was talking about. In regards to the survey, and it might be really interesting to start collecting data on what people are doing outside the fisheries to try and mitigate not being able to fish. Maybe there are questions on the survey for that, but I think that would be really useful information down the line to see how people are coping with the inability to meet their needs through the fisheries on the Yukon and some of the other tributaries. So just a thought. And, yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy, for those comments.
Hello?
When, yes, go ahead.
Hey, I don't know if I was jumped in front of somebody, but in regards to what Andy just said, you know, us good folks along the Yukon River and everywhere in Alaska, we all subsist.
Hey, local, your mom.
We all subsist with the season, and when there's a flood like this, usually after the birds get here, we harvest the. First, we shoot the birds that come. We change a little change of diet. Then we go after their eggs, which is another good change of diet. And then also, another thing we do go after is muskrats this time of the year. It's pretty popular down this way. And we weren't able to do that because of the flood in 2023. And then this year, we can't do that again. So we do subsist with the season, and we do go after different things, but you know, the price of fuel has gone right now. The price of fuel, we're at $7.50 a gallon until the barge gets here. And they did have a big gas sale in Marshall, so a lot of locals went down to Marshall to get their couple of drums of fuel for you know, the up and coming season. But there's a lot of folks that do not have a 6-inch set net. A lot of folks don't have a 6-inch drift net. A lot of folks don't have a 4-inch net, but a lot of folks do have a dip net. And we are all, you know, on a conservative mind set. Nobody's gonna go out there after salmon. And if we do get a salmon, we're gonna release it just like, you know, everybody wants to, because nobody wants to use fish back more than us. So, but yeah, back to what Andy was saying. We do subsist with the season, and we do go after whatever's in season, but things like the flood do hamper our efforts. Plus, you know, like I stated, you know, the boy that went missing, that weighs heavy on a small community like our little town. When something like that happens, it affects everybody's mood, everybody's, it even affects our subsistence. You know, the time we get to spend out in the country going after food or whatever we could, that everything is affected. And plus, you know, traditionally the family that lost a person, that family will not partake in any subsistence harvest for like a year. But there was some people that they gave us some whitefish and pike for our dogs, only because, like I said, there's no fish camps ready to operate right now. A lot of them are stuck in the muck down here in the beach. And so one of the locals, he said that, but he wasn't able to get this camp in operation. So they were able to just give everybody table food, and whatever whatever wasn't taken by anybody in town were passed down to us dog mushers. So, but my brother is one of the ones that had to move out of his house, him and his family, and a family of five. That's a lot of stuff to move. So we, you know, not only the stuff in the house, but, you know, a year's worth of supply of firewood that's right outside his house. And in 2023, he lost all that stuff. And we used that to cook for, heat the homes and cook for the dogs and everything. So, it's been a pretty interesting season. It's been pretty rough so far for us. And, even worse when we see so much dead moose, and even dead bears, dead wolves, dead lynx, dead whole bunch of dead critters. You know, there's the sustainability question that comes into our mind. Like nobody wants to over harvest anything, and when we see all these dead moose, and knowing that we rely basically on moose and bear primarily for our table food all year long, that puts us into extra conservative mode. So, and that worries us quite a bit because there's no fishing going on in the summer, basically. But folks, the general feeling is, you know, if the state's going to shut down 6-inch fishing and, you know, for salmon, they should at least try to keep 4-inch open a little longer because there's no way we're going to make a break or run out here. I don't know if you guys know this, but humpies, too, swim down here at the lower river, and those ones would get caught up in the 4-inch net. So, you know, the whitefish and pike, chiefish and humpies are the ones that have been keeping the fish camps in the lower river operating all these years. And last year we got cut off of a lot of 4-inch fishing, kind of pissed everybody off. And, you know, nobody wants these salmon back more than us, but when you add some salt on the wound, then that kind of makes us a little mad before. Well, you know, we know that they turn their cheek away from their actual problem and just put a magnifying glass over us a little harder. So seems like there's two magnifying glasses over us now. We're really kicking under this stuff. So, yeah, just to add on what Andy said, we do subsist other animals, but there's nothing that'll make up for no salmon. So I just thought I'd throw that in there. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Andy and Basil. What we can do is Grace Kirkley is our project manager who runs two of the projects that we, the survey program and the clearinghouse program, and they can provide an update on the different data that we're collecting. Also with the Watershed Ecosystem Action Plan, we do have a story map that'll go live soon. We're just providing some updates from the steering committee that helped develop that story map. But we'll definitely provide more information regarding the questions that we ask in the survey. And with that, I'll go ahead and open up the floor again. If you'd like to provide any comments or questions, please do so by pressing star 6.
Oh, hi, Serena. This is Dina John with Fish and Game. I think my connection dropped for a little bit, but I think I heard some of what Basil was saying. I just want to remind folks that even when these fishing closures have gone into effect right now in districts 1, 2, and 3, that 4-inch or less gill nets can still be used. They got to be 60 feet or less and operated as a set net. We do anticipate having all those 4-inch nets closed for about 2.5 weeks. Last year that was kind of up in district 3. That was like the last week of June and the first week of July. So those 4-inch nets should still be back in the water when the pinks are starting to come in later on the season. And even during that closure, folks can still use their dip nets and hook and line. They just got to let all kings and summer chum go alive. So, yeah, apologies if I missed some of what Basil was saying, but just to put that reminder out there. Thanks.
Great. Thank you, Dina. Again, open up the floor for any comments or questions. Okay, hearing none, thank you for joining our teleconference today. We look forward to every Tuesday with you. Please spread the word, encourage people to jump on the call if they have any questions or comments with management or any of the organizations along the Yukon River. We will provide updates via Facebook. There should be community posters that should be reaching the communities about the teleconference this week. So please share, inform, encourage people to call in. Thank you for your time. Enjoy the rest of your week.